coming to you from the HagmanReport.com studio. Located in the Keystone State, birthplace of a mighty nation, it's your host, Doug Hagman.
And welcome to Hagman. It is the Hagman Report, and I hope everyone is getting ready for the weekend ahead. You know, the way I see it is you're going to need some rest. So, well, I'll tell you what, after you can rest after November, after December, after January, I suppose, hopefully. But right now we are looking at, again, one of the most perilous and dangerous times in American history. And this week has been, I think, a very important week in American politics. And remember, politics is always downstream of culture. That was Andrew Breitbart's mantra. Just understand where we are headed right now. This week, what did we see this week? We saw a number of things take place, including, of course, the optics for the Harris and continued fallout, nonetheless, from the Harris interview with Brett Baer. And now I've got a few sources somewhat in that arena, if you will. And it's interesting because as Brett Baer was stating, the initial agreement for the interview, and I just want to lead off with this, and again, you may be sick and tired of hearing about this, but I think this is at the core. This really is at the core of the Harris Walls regime. When I say regime, this communist coupling, a coupling of two communist, plainly, I mean, that's what they are. Their policies, their ideology. You can argue Walls is a Maoist. It's still communism, of course. And Harris is more of a traditional communist. Again, the communist ideology infused within their politics. And the reason I say this is important is because not only is, a country hanging in the balance, but all of us, our futures, the futures of our children and grandchildren are hanging in the balance, folks. You know, people I've talked to numerous people, and I'm going to be getting back to the Brett Baer, so you can keep that up. But I've talked to numerous people, and it's interesting because the people who I speak with about, hey, I see you have, for example, I see you have a Harris sign in your front yard. I'm just curious, what made you decide on Harris? Now, I've got to say I'm pretty good at acting innocent. Again, you know, having really spent my entire life as an investigator in the private sector, you've got to basically, sometimes you've got to assume roles, assume an identity that you're not. So I'm pretty good at getting people to talk. And the latest happened yesterday, and it was a chance meeting. It was, But anyway, the crux of the conversation was essentially that. Hey, I see you have a hair sign in there. Where'd you get that? What made you decide on Harris? Now, in previous,
I don't think people.
Eric the Tech, I love you, man. Go ahead.
I think since Trump started,
yeah,
it's straight party line vote. They don't care.
Really?
Yes.
Okay. I totally agree with you, or would have agreed with you 100% until the last couple of months, because I remember doing this right around the primaries with Biden, but earlier on. And it was, well, we've always voted on a straight Democratic ticket. We've always done that. But with the case yesterday is more, I think, more reflective of the sentiment of today. And that is anybody but Donald Trump. Well, why is that? Well, because Donald Trump, he's going to bring fascism into the U.S. They're all corporate media talking points. Now, to your point, though, I think up until maybe just prior to or around.
I mean, I've never voted for a Democrat in my life.
I haven't. Well, I, you know what? I have one time, but it was for a state rep. And the reason is I know this person personally. And anyway, and I know the character of this individual, and I also know his voting record, and it's really not consistent with a Democratic ticket, but given the environment of our area, that's what he chose. But okay, so let's go with that for a second. And I mentioned this before, and again, to the point of this interview and the backlash and the embrace of her going into hostile territory. By the way, if you watch that interview Wednesday night, I don't think Bret Baier exhibited any hostility at all. In fact, I think he went overboard to kiss her ass. I mean, there's no other way I've got to say it. It's nothing I can say. But to your point, sometime around, and perhaps as a consequence of what happened in Butler, I've seen people on both sides dig in deeper. And this is just me. Those people who have been for Donald Trump quietly, resolutely, but quietly, I think now I've seen more political signs on both sides out than I've seen in any election. And that includes back in, Ford, President Ford, Jimmy Carter, Reagan. That's how far back I go. And, you're showing the emails? That's all right. what do you want to, do this again? Okay. I was putting them back up and we can open them and read them together. Okay. But people now, I think, are more ideologically driven than ever before in history. Maybe perhaps since the Civil War. And I see this as both a positive, but a perilous type of situation. And I know it sounds like I'm just buying time in my, with you folks. No, please understand this. I don't think a lot of people realize the precipice at which we stand. I don't think a lot of people understand how committed to the ideology and to the cause they are. Whereas, as Eric the Tech, whereas you said before, I've voted Democrat all my life. My family's, we're all Democrats, and that's just the way we vote. Now it's ideologically driven. And two critical points on the left is so-called reproductive rights, which is a euphemism for infanticide, abortion, but the killing of the unborn. That's number one. And the driver of that, I believe the left, many low IQ voters or misinformed voters, I really believe that they believe that somehow President Trump, if elected, is going to take away their daughters, their wife, their girlfriend, whoever, their bodily autonomy. It's just really a wild thing. Before, I got a special guest for you lined up here momentarily. Before I get to that, I want to thank you for your support of this broadcast. I want to thank you as well for your belief and trust as we walk through this minefield together. I'm telling you, it is, really, this is a make or break moment in time, hinge moment in history. But again, I want to thank you for your belief and trust in us. Please, number one, please do me a favor. That is to, subscribe to us on our Rumble channel. It doesn't cost you anything, because when we go live in the evening hours, beginning at some point next week, it's going to be important for you to interact. So have that account ready. It doesn't cost you anything. It's not that hard. But follow us on Rumble. You can also follow us on Brighteon. Subscribe, that is. Create an account and just hit the follow button. That's important. And that way we can interact next week. And the other thing, too, is I'm going to thank you for your support. And I'm going to thank the people who sponsor this program for their support. You know, one of the greatest products I've found for aging, for wrinkles and skin, is collagen. And you hear others talk about this. Folks, go to healthwithdoug.com. The link is in the program description box. Countless Americans, you know, they waste time, energy, and money. All really this year alone, trying to reduce wrinkles, but failing because they miss the real problem, which is the decrease in their natural collagen reserves. Now, let me explain real quick here. Scientists found that after the age of 20, your body produces about 12% less collagen each decade. If you experience an excess of sagging skin or wrinkles for your age, you just might be collagen deficient. Plus, knowing you should supplement collagen isn't enough. You have to use the right, the proper, the correct types of the quality sourced collagen to have the best chances of reducing the appearance of aging. Plus, it helps the health of your skin, which is the largest organ in your body, which is why I use this amazing new collagen mixture to revitalize and rejuvenate my skin. Unlike typical collagen supplements found on the store shelves, this is highly recommended because it combines the top five critically important types of collagen for skin health. It's formulated to help reduce visible signs of aging, reduces wrinkles, promotes a glow, a healthy, youthful glow, promotes elasticity of the skin, and promotes skin hydration. Now, if you want to do your skin a favor, get it today. Well, it's 51% off only at healthwithdoug.com. Plus, if you order today, you'll get a free VIP live health and fitness coaching for life, a free new ebook titled The 14 Foods for Amazing Skin, a 60-day satisfaction guarantee, and free shipping. Once again, that's healthwithdoug.com, or just click in the link in the description box below. And I apologize if I sound like I'm losing my voice. I am, and it's just what I got to deal with. So I apologize for that. But moving forward here. With me is somebody I've really wanted to speak with, talk with, and really get into what Noel Fritsch. He is the publisher of a website called National File. Now, this platform, I've sourced news and I've cited National File many times in this show. I've got it at near the top of my bookmarks and suggest you do so as well. That's nationalfile.com. The information there, they publish exclusive reports. His team, Noel Fritsch, his team has broken numerous major stories, including, you will remember this, Ashley Biden's diary, the Cal Cunningham scandal, and Ralph Northam, blackface, Klan Hood yearbook. You remember that. His team's reporting directly led to the arrest of NBC News / deep state asset, John Banuelos. Now, if you might, you
close
might,
enough.
Yeah, I'm telling you, man. I feel like Joe Biden sometimes, but if you remember the footage from
Change My Diaper.
Anyway. No, I'm serious. Seriously, folks, not hyperbole. If you remember the footage from January 6th, you'll remember seeing, perhaps, maybe not because the news didn't cover this, a man that was on the scaffolding outside the Capitol firing a firearm into the air. He fired a sidearm at 2:30 in that afternoon at the West Lawn scaffolding of the U.S. Capitol on January 6, 2021. And his, Noel Fritsch, his team, National File, led to that man's arrest. And Noel's been on programs that I watch all of the time, Charlie Kirk Show, Bannon's War Room, Newsmax, OANN. He's been on there numerous times. You know this man. And I give this man a lot of credit. I have a lot of respect for him, his work, his investigative journalism, and everything he does. So without further ado, Noel Fritsch, thank you so much for joining me today.
Hey, thanks for having me. Happy to be here. Thanks for the kind introduction and the kind words.
Well, I mean that.
Well, and it's always good to hear. You don't know when folks have the website, you know, pinned to the top of their bookmarks. And so we do some decent traffic. As you know, web print is not in vogue like it was 10 years ago. Everybody's, you know, got video now. And so it's harder and harder to get folks to click through because folks don't read much anymore. But I maintain, kind of like maybe an old newspaper man, except we're talking about web print, that the receipts really matter. They still do matter. And you've seen the resurgence of Substack. And so the state of media is a whole other conversation. We've got so much going on in the news today. But nationalfile.com, we've still got the receipts, and we got another one yesterday. Yes, I personally called up the sheriff's office in Riverside County, which is where Palm Springs is in the Inland Empire, about 2 hours east into the desert out of Los Angeles, California. And so Sheriff Chad Bianco there has problems. He has a deputy sheriff that just got way out of control with this guy, Vim Miller, who is a MAGA guy, a Trump guy. America First guy, Vim Miller is, and he was there. And maybe, you know, look, a lot of times in the South, you tell an officer, hey, officer, I've got a firearm. They're all good with it because, you know, it's the South. In California, you can't tell an officer, evidently, that you have firearms because they will immediately start to treat you like a terrorist. And so that's where California is. And maybe Vim shouldn't have piped up and said that he had firearms because he ended up being accused of assassinating the president. Obviously, falsely accused of an assassination attempt with President Trump at the Coachella rally. And so the sheriff's office yesterday confirmed for me he didn't even pay bail. The initial stories were, yeah, he got out on bail. Well, first of all, if you have an assassin, are you letting that guy out on $5,000 bail? Yeah. I don't think so. Well, that was the story for a couple of days until yesterday. We have confirmed with the sheriff's office. I spoke with them. He looked up the account. We have the arrest record. We have all of the citation numbers and Vim Miller's date of birth. They verified that that's who they were talking about. There was no bail paid. So that's, look, this is how fake news travels. A bunch of accounts that you guys have heard of. I'm going to say it. Even Charlie Kirk was pushing out fake news on Sunday afternoon about this assassination attempt. A guy called Nick Sorter. Oh, there's lots of these guys who are just chasing clicks. Joe Rogan. There's lots of these guys who are just chasing clicks on Twitter. All right. And they're chasing clicks and they're chasing traffic. And so that's about as big as you can get if you can be first in on Twitter. You know, somebody's trying to kill the president. Well, they just all, without checking anything, they just repeated what this idiot sheriff and his deputy sheriff said. And they made this up out of whole cloth, Doug. They're like, oh, they're going to kill. This guy wants to kill the president. That was never said. There's no evidence it was ever said. We're still trying to figure out where the claim came from. And we don't know exactly yet where that claim came from. And so them immediately sued. This is like he sued within like 48 hours or less. Wow. And it happened on a Sunday. Look, Mark Robinson finally filed his lawsuit late last week. It took him 3 weeks. I wish it would have been faster in North Carolina.
Yep.
But this is what we've got going on. We've got this proliferation of fake news. And of course, you and I both know that they use the fake news toward their advantage politically. And so this is the thing, like, you know, it's one thing to just talk about, oh, well, we don't trust the news. And everybody knows all the polls show, you know, Rasmussen and Pew all show nobody has any faith in any media anymore. But it's another thing entirely to actually put that together with what that means in terms of the dynamics of power, the levers of power. Well, I can tell you right now, you've got in Georgia, you've got the folks basically ignoring the courts, which are tossing out state board of election directives on how to run a well-run election. Okay.
Yeah, you're right.
In North Carolina, you've got this is actually a really big untold story in North Carolina. You've got this, in essence, the entire regime and Governor Cooper together and the media hiding how many people have died and how many people are missing. I'm here to, and we have a story working on this right now at nationalfile.com. Yesterday, I think it was yesterday or maybe day before, Cooper came out and said something like there's 95 dead folks. we had like 600 dead on like day three.
Yeah.
Okay. And so here's why they're doing this. You have to understand why. Like, yes, we know they're all liars, but why are they all lying? They're lying so they can get more power. Okay. It's really important to understand that. They're going to hide the evidence of many, many dozens and hundreds of deaths and missing individuals in Buncombe County, Avery County, these western 25 counties. And they're going to hide these deaths until after the election, because obviously before the election, it hurts Stein and it hurts, you know, the Cooper regime. We had an exclusive up at National File last week on Thursday and Friday. Trump tweeted about it on Truth. And I know for a fact he watched the segment on RSBN about it with Matt Alvarez. We have emails up at nationalfile.com that show that Governor Cooper is colluding with the state's largest insurer to slow roll the response. Okay. Now that struck a nerve. That struck a nerve. Donald Trump truthed about it. Governor Cooper was forced to respond. Okay. Governor Cooper had to say, oh, well, this is our response. Well, yes, it's your response. We know it's your response. We have the emails. We have the receipts. We have a whistleblower inside of BCBS who sent us the emails that show that Cooper is colluding with BCBS North Carolina, Blue Cross Blue Shield North Carolina, to slow roll the response. They literally say it out in the open. Well, only use these two charities. Well, one of them is not charity. It's literally the government, Volunteer NC. That's not a charity. That's the government. And Red Cross may as well be the government.
Exactly.
Red Cross is famously if not the most inefficient nonprofits, you know, quote unquote, that there is. And to run you through more of that story, talking about nonprofits, BCBS is supposed to be a nonprofit. Well, like in one of their recent years, they made a profit of $570 million, you know, north of half a billion dollars. And do you know how much money they've pledged to send to the relief?
Not that much.
$2.5 million.
Yeah.
Okay. That's $1 for every man, woman, and child in the western 25 counties in North Carolina. Okay. Uh-huh. And that, it's also incidentally about equal to the CEO's bonus. That was his bonus in a recent year. His bonus was $2.1 or $2.3 million. Okay, that was his bonus. For one guy.
Wow.
And by the way, that guy graduated medical school at in Nigeria. We got a Nigerian medical school guy in charge of the largest insurer in the state of North Carolina. This is the situation that we have here, Mr. Hageman.
My goodness. Folks, my very special guest is Noel Fritsch. He's the man behind National File. That's nationalfile.com. Please subscribe and support this fine organization, because I'll tell you what, you're not going to find this kind of information elsewhere. In fact, I think you, I think you have probably the most comprehensive, report on the Blue Cross Blue Shield, the, insurance, lack of coverage and lack of, mitigation, loss mitigation.
It's the only one. No conservative news outlets will pick this up. Thank God Donald Trump did. Yeah. RSBN talked about it.
And I watched that. And in fact, we will link to that clip on RSBN. And we'll link to make sure everyone does follow all of your socials. You could, actually, folks, you can go to the top right of National File and make sure you follow National File. I want to, something you said earlier though about Vim Miller. I just want to say this. I've got kind of like a, I don't know, Bongino kind of rule, 48, 72 hours before really getting into, the deep story itself. Now you, on the other hand, you'll go off and in cases like that, attempt to verify information. But I said from the beginning, that whole thing was really sketchy. I mean, and there was more to it than what was being seen. And this, so you've turned this up exactly right. There is more to it.
Yeah.
What do you, going back to that, what do you account for the sheriff? How do you account for the sheriff's actions with this guy?
I believe he trusted his deputy and he should not have done that.
How do you account for the deputy sheriff's, the first encounter, his actions? Because,
look, we have a military state, a police state that brings these guys home from war. And I don't want to say it's the video games, but look, maybe it's the video games, but or some combination of them. They go to war. The video games aren't enough, so then they go get a job with the LEO. And I'm not here to badmouth LEOs. Like, we need rule of law, obviously. But the problem is that our LEOs work for these corrupt governors and these corrupt mayors whoever the top politico is in your particular jurisdiction, that's who the LEOs work for. And so if you have a situation like in California now, this guy Bianco really, really, really wants to challenge Newsom, and so give me a second. So now Newsom, is not that popular, but over in Riverside County, Bianco has to be seen as basically a Trump guy, and so I think you end up in situations where you have basically these LEOs just like really overzealous, looking for like a takedown. Okay.
Yep. Yep.
And so they see a guy like Vim Miller, and Vim is I know Vim. That's why I was able to jump in on this immediately. It was instantly like, okay, this is bogus. Like when I read it at 3 o'clock, and I immediately started like banging on rapid response on all the Twitter accounts. Okay. And so, and we won, I think, successfully. We beat that narrative back. New York Post is walking back some of their reports. We need more of the folks to walk back some of their reports. But we started, Newsweek is walking back some of their reporting.
It's good.
And
in no small part by you, I was following your social media postings on this, especially with the bail situation. And I'll tell you what, you know, that's one of the reasons why I would urge everyone to take a breath before they start talking and reposting. You mentioned, like Charlie Kirk, Nick Sorter, you know, look, people want to be first out. Being first out is not as important as being correct. So
That's right. A lot of people, you know, Ann Vandersteel had a funny tweet. It was like, you know, here lies the account of Nick Sorter. She was pretty rough on him.
Yeah.
And, you know, cause he did, you risk your credibility when you make claims that you haven't verified. And, and just on its face, you could instantly tell that there was a lot wrong with it. And one of the basic facts is this. If you actually have someone who you believe, genuinely, sincerely believe to be an assassin, which is what they said to the press several times. Yeah, we really think we stopped an assassin. And as late as Tuesday, Bianco's on TV saying that to guys like Dan Abrams. Okay. Big. The guy ran and went did a media tour. Okay. And so this is major red flags here. And so if you sincerely believe you have an assassin in your custody, are you going to let him go on 5,000 bond?
No.
It turns out he let him go on zero bond. The fact.
Was he charged with possession of a legal firearm
which is misdemeanor? Yeah,
right. Okay,
it's a misdemeanor.
Right.
Okay. And then one of the magazines in California, you're not allowed to have more than like 9 pew pews in a magazine. You can only have so if you have 14 in a sidearm, that's a high capacity weapon.
Yeah, it's out of control, indeed. All right, I just want to clear that up because because I did report that he had multiple identities. But when you drill down and understand why he had documents with different names or variations of his name on it, you will understand that legitimate name changes happen. I mean,
Miller is his middle name.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, so that's okay. And then number two, and he had told me this story a long time ago, and I remembered that he had told it to me. And I actually asked him. I had him on the Tina Peters show. I subbed in for Tina, who's our other friend who's in jail.
Oh yeah.
Okay, there's a lot of us who are in jail. I kind of joke with my pals. I'm like, hey guys, I'll be there one day. You know, just send me some cookies. he came on Tina Peters and explained the whole thing. He did, and I know this is a fact, he's done a lot of reporting about the Armenian genocide. Okay, there were a bunch of bad actors out in Eastern Europe killing Armenians for a long time.
Oh yeah.
And that state of play in that territory remained in effect for a long time, and it would have been dangerous for him to go into some of those territories with his last name, which is a Christian last name, Yanovkian, or it's Orthodox Christian Armenian. And so he put a different, apparently if you give yourself the name Steinberg, no one anywhere on the planet is allowed to do anything to you. And so that's what he did. And he put the name Steinberg onto his passport so he could go undercover and do some reporting.
Interesting. Very interesting. Again, folks, Noel Fritsch, nationalfile.com. Make sure you subscribe and support as well his journalism. You know, it's difficult to find real investigative journalists these days. Noel is one indeed. And make sure you also follow him on whatever social media platforms you're on. Getting back now to the hurricane, because I don't want to take too much of your time, but I appreciate whatever time you can give this platform. You talk about one of the most egregious, in my view, handling of events that has occurred. It's hard for me to believe because we're working with the church down there where 100% of the donations go right to the victims or fuel helicopters or whatever. I mean, it's all, no one's skimming off the top. And we also sent down a 53-foot tractor trailer filled with supplies, and the man on the ground there was able to direct it so it wasn't confiscated. I get the power aspect of things, But is there more to this? I mean, my goodness, it seems like everyone's just glossing over the story. And to me, I believe the death count is going to be in the, you know, somewhere between 2,500 and 5,000. That's my belief.
I think you're right on the death count. And I will say, I can't speculate as to some of the property stuff that we've heard. I have heard several anecdotal stories of FEMA trying to buy up a bunch of property. None of that would surprise me. It's very valuable property up there in those mountains. And it has been for a long time, for good reason. In the 90s, if you wanted to go anywhere in North Carolina and see, fancy cars, you basically had to go to the mountains so there's a whole bunch of money up there. A lot of retirees. And it's only gotten bigger the last, 20, 30 years. And so, that it's just very valuable land.
Yeah.
And, because people love the North Carolina mountains. They love the North Carolina mountains are great. It's a great state. It's the old North state. I've lived here my whole life, absent for, when I've been running around, teaching high school or doing Second Amendment, issue advocacy, or campaigns. And so it's, I was born here. I moved my family back here. I have six sons and, we intend to stay. And so, if Cooper and Stein want to jump in on the cabal and, do whatever they do with the land grab nonsense that they do, so be it. I think this stuff's predictable when you have a reservoir at like 4,200 feet, like we had, Mount Mitchell's up at 6,700 feet. Unbelievable amount of water flying down an unbelievable elevation at very high rates of speed. And so, what could go wrong? What could go wrong with the, the FDR Tennessee Valley Authority? In my mind, you dam up rivers like that and make big chunks of water precisely so that you can flood somebody downstream of you one day if you feel like it. That's kind of how I look at it.
Yeah. Yeah.
I can't, that's speculation. Generally, I have a hard time thinking the entire thing was just a mistake. Cooper didn't call a state of emergency here at all. If that were Ron DeSantis or some other Republican governor who didn't call a state of emergency, that guy would be roasted on a pike. he would be rotisserie. Okay, that's the case.
Of course.
And but Cooper gets a pass. And people, now this is another element of the story that people have, and I got a roll after this, but I'll leave you with this.
Okay.
This guy's been holding on to like hundreds of millions of dollars of federal funds from Hurricane Matthew since 2017, way back yonder in like, it feels like last century.
Okay. Wow.
The guy, the funds were dispersed in 2016. He came into office after, by the way, Chris La Civita helped him win that. Chris La Civita is running President Trump's campaign.
Yeah.
And he's been holding the money for 8 years. And so that's the guy we're talking about here.
Roy Asbury.
It's all a power play.
Yeah.
It's all the release of all those funds is absolutely a power play. And it's no different here with Helene.
Well, I'll tell you what, I know you got to bounce, but I appreciate you coming on with me. I wanted our audience I want to introduce you to our audience, to the listeners and viewers of this platform, because you're doing great work. You're doing God's work. You have been all over the place, on various, news platforms. And I wanted to make sure that, I wanted to have you on because I think the listeners and viewers would really benefit from your research, your investigations, and you need support. You need you need to be uplifted because you're doing the work others refuse to do, and we really appreciate you for that.
Well, thanks so much, and look, I'll love to come back anytime if I have any news worthy of talking about.
Well, I'll tell you what, your website is a required read. Noel Fritsch, thank you so very much for coming on. I know you're a busy man, so I'll let you go. God bless you, my friend. Thank you.
Thank you, guys.
Come back again.
You all have a great day.
All right.
Cheers.
Folks, that was Noel Fritsch. Obviously, you can see he was out and about, so we had to kind of work on his timetable, and we did, and that's a guy. Look, he has him and his team are out there, and by the way, man, I'll tell you what, don't even like post or query Wikipedia, for example. I don't know how wrong people can be, but I'm just saying, you know, it's just, it really causes me to wonder where we're at with things today. All right. Getting on, let's move on here. And I appreciate him coming on, but right now I just want to address the ideological aspect of where we're at and why I believe we are going to enter into a major, major conflict and internal conflict, that is. The people right now who I'm running into, I'm addressing, as I said before, and I've said in previous programs, they're ideologically driven. Their ideology right now is to go for broke. Now, if you think about this, you know, back in 2020, when President Trump ran for re-election, how many, did you see as many signs? The sign, now I could be totally wrong on this. Maybe it's geographically specific, but have you seen as many signs as you do today? A lot of people were afraid to put out signs for President Trump. Today, not so much. There wasn't a whole lot of visible support, at least I saw back in 2020 for Biden. Now you have people putting up Harris signs and basically saying, F you, this is where I stand. And the President Trump side, this is where we stand. I'm just saying, I do believe we're at a point where we cannot coexist. And it hurts my heart to say that, because we're all Americans, but the majority of people who are voting or who support Harris and Walz, in my view, are supporting the communist ideology, either knowingly or unwittingly. As Eric the Tech has said, well, I voted Democrat all my life. Well, wait a second. Is that your motivation today? I don't think that's 100%. I don't even think that's 75%. I think that the brainwashing by the media is really a big part of this. And the reason I put so much emphasis on this is because when you are ideologically motivated, you're fixing to fight. I mean, you will fight to the end until you win or can't fight anymore to make sure that your ideology, that what you believe to be the truth is implemented, or what you believe needs to happen in terms of the political restructuring of the United States happens. You're going to fight, and you're going to fight hard. So my point is this: from 2016 onward, you're seeing this increasing and very perilous push on both sides for their candidate to win. Now you add a couple of other components to this. Number one, the left cannot afford to lose power. And we saw that this week in a couple of instances, the Harris interview with Bret Baier. It's amazing you could take an interview like that. And to me, that was a softball interview. To me, Bret Baier was too nice. And to me, he didn't press hard enough for answers to simple questions. He let a few slide. And I don't think he could have been nicer. Yet the left is saying, well, that was nearly an ambush interview. That was, boy, was he rude. Was he over the top? He was interruptive. He was, insert the adjective of your choice. That's the left. Never mind, she did not answer the questions that were asked of her because she couldn't. So having said that, this week, that was a big deal this week. Now, do I think that would that move the needle from those voting for Harris or voting for President Trump? I don't think anything will. I'm to the point now, and Eric, the tech, feel free to jump in I think people have their minds made up, and I think people have had their minds made up with perhaps
the. We might as well just vote right now.
Well, people are in many cases, but yeah, I just think that anyone today who is undecided, this is my opinion. If you say, well, I'm just not sure who I'm going to vote for, you're either a complete and total liar or you're a complete and total moron.
The only candidate that fits that mold is Kennedy, and he's not on the ticket.
And there it is. He's not on the ticket, but he's supportive of President Trump. And you may not like his politics, but it's very difficult to argue with his medical research and medical findings. So this is what we're fighting right now. And I've heard in my particular, the way I look at it is we'll be live on election night. My particular assessment of this is, they're going to do everything they can to cheat and steal, just like they did in 2020. But, you're not allowed to talk about that. People, see, no, we need to talk about that. And if you think anything is going to be different in terms of the left's attempt to steal, no, they haven't changed they have not changed their intent to steal this election.
The electors are scary. Certifying the election is scary.
What he said, Eric the Tech, exactly what you said. Let me ask you this.
I shouldn't say scary, a threat.
A threat. That's perhaps a better characterization. So do you believe that there's only one way we're going to know the clear winner on election day, and that is if the right, the conservatives, go out en masse and vote early, if possible, and vote on election day, and vote in numbers too big to rig. That's the only way I believe that we'll know on election night who won, and that would be a complete blowout for President Trump.
Well, if D.C.'s on fire, then we know who won.
And there it is. Because if it that's the other thing, too. It's a big thing. If President Trump does take it in 20 this year, I'm going to tell you right now, the screams at the sky, remember those? The chaos in the streets, the violence, that's going to look like a Sunday picnic compared to what the left has planned for us now. I believe that. Because they're going to, if they lose, they will burn everything down. And we do see some communications with Homeland Security or within Homeland Security, which I got to tell you, even the quality of their communications between, not that they should even exist, but between today and 2004 and 5, it's just, there's absolutely no comparison. The quality of intel that existed back in 2004, 2005 was much better, much greater than it is today. But more importantly, the obviously, you know this, it's the weaponization of these government entities. It's the weaponization of the Department of Justice against the, like using the FACE Act against anyone who would stand at an abortion center and pray. It's the weaponization against Catholics, those attending Latin masses. Yes, that's the thing. It's a weaponization against parents who object at school. You know all of this. But with a Harris victory through stealing, and I believe that's about the only way, because I cannot believe half the population is completely brainwashed or completely stupid. I find that very difficult to believe. And if that's the case, well, I don't think there's much, I don't think there's a whole lot more to talk about if that is the case. And I want you to think about that too, if you don't mind. I don't want to sound like I'm bossing you. I just think about living in a country where you've got 50% of the population who it wants to embrace the ideology of Harris and Walz. And then the other half, I would say, who want to live freely. It's like I was saying with the, for example, the hot button issues, especially with the left, about infanticide, otherwise known as abortion. Oh, it's reproductive rights. No, it's not. It's the murder of the unborn, the most vulnerable among us. And if you fall for that, if you are saying, well, we have to maintain women's rights and their bodily autonomy, again, wait a second. Aren't you the same, aren't you the same who said, no, if you don't get the clot shot, slab jab, or whatever you want to call it, you can't work? Hey, you're going to be punished. If you don't wear a mask, we can toss you in jail. Aren't you the same people? How do you reconcile that? How do you reconcile that dichotomy, I guess. It's difficult and becoming increasingly more difficult to have a rational conversation with these people. And I guess that's the long way of saying, I don't believe that we can coexist. And I think that we're either going to have a balkanization or one hell of a, the consequence of this is going to be one hell of a war internally. And, you know, you heard Steve Quayle as well talk about this. What a great time. What a great time for the enemies within. President Trump said this week as well, this, again, just citing the news of the week, enemies within. Oh my gosh, the MSNBC folks, their heads were exploding. The enemy within, using military on the streets of America against American citizens. He's talking, no, you talk about a major misrepresentation, but we have the enemy already here within our shores. The groups of Chinese military aged men, I'm going to say they're already organized, as well as the cartels. I mean, my gosh, look this week. We saw in Texas this week the Venezuelan gangs taking over apartment complexes in Texas. Now, I'm not talking about Aurora, Colorado. I'm talking about Texas. And that can't be all right.
We can't afford four more years
of
illegal immigration.
No, we can't. And it's more of an invasion. No, we can't. And, you know, the other hot button issue, you've got the illegal invasion, as well as I mentioned before, and all of this came out this week pretty well on display. So you've got the infanticide, you've got this illegal invasion, you've got, and I say illegal invasion because they are taking over various, in the United States, imagine taking over property, apartment complexes, and it's only going to get worse. President Trump has a solution, deport. Harris has a solution, amnesty. We heard that solution from Harris and Walz, who, by the way, was pushing for amnesty as well in his state. But again,
shotgun Walz.
Yeah, Elmer Fudd, my goodness. And then what was it on Wednesday or Thursday? He would show up for I didn't bring any or post any assets for this, but didn't he did. I don't remember where it was. He showed up for some sort of press event, and he was dressed like Elmer Fudd, minus the hat, but he had this red flannel or red, heavy, plaid red.
That's what they do. Black face, Hispanic face.
There you go.
Redneck face.
Yep. Yep. It's just, it's ridiculous, the things that are happening here. But don't look again, the
people vote for everything they stand against.
People vote for everything they stand against.
Like her pretending to be,
oh,
black or Hispanic or wherever she goes. Like, they're so against that, yet, oh, it's okay if Kamala does it.
And you know what got me this week as well is the real push. Walls coming out and saying, well, you know, this could be the very first time in American history you have two Democrats running for high office that are gun owners. Yet he can't handle a shotgun. And she, when pressed, what kind of gun do you own? Eric the Tech, if I asked you, if you and I were at, if you had to give a, if the press or a member of the press, because I know what you'd say to them. But if I asked you, what's your everyday carry firearm? What would you say? How would you describe it?
What do you mean?
Okay. I got a problem with
like
this.
Like literally?
Well, her response was, yeah, I carry, yeah, a Glock. I have a Glock. Okay. Now, me, I would say, you know, I've got a, for example, a
Glock 19.
Thank you. You would add a little bit more detail in there, wouldn't you? You would think.
Yes. Glock 43X.
That's it. I have a Smith & Wesson 45 model, you know, whatever. But
weighs
you would
40 pounds.
It does, man. It does. But especially with the, yeah, no, it does.
But I did see that Smith & Wesson, their pistol.
Yes.
Won out the ice test.
What was so that?
If you live in Antarctica,
oh,
get a Smith & Wesson.
I like Smith & Wesson.
Other than that, no.
Yeah, that's you. I like Smith & Wesson. I do like my 44 Model 27, 44 caliber Smith & Wesson. Yes, Smith. Sorry about that. Sorry, what's that? All right, 45 seconds. Man, I'll tell you what. I do appreciate your tuning into this show today. I know it sounded a little bit discombobulated, but the fact of the matter is we are facing a threat that is so incredibly severe. I really don't know what to say. If you're not paying attention right now, if you're not prepared, if you are not ready to go out and vote and take five other people with you, and if you're not prepared for what's coming, then just pray. Because, and then find someone who can, that you could, maybe will help you. Because it's going to get bad. It'll do it, folks.